With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. The 80th annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally is officially underway. Officials anticipate 250,000 people over the course of the 9-day event. That's about half of what would normally be expected to attend because of the coronavirus pandemic. SDPB's Lee Strubinger takes us to downtown Sturgis at the intersection of Junction and Main.
Many people here from out of state looking to get out, get to South Dakota. I see a Hell's Angel from New York getting ready to cross the intersection. People are ready to have fun.
That mask is gonna save you from COVID.
Obviously this year, there's another layer to the festivities, the coronavirus pandemic. Stepping off of the side street here and walking down a block from the main show. There's a little sign of concern for the pandemic this year. There are a few people wearing masks. Some folks do have masks, but they are few and far between.
That was SDPB's Lee Strubinger. Members from the State Department of Health plan to attend the Sturgis rally, but will not conduct COVID-19 tests there. Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Risden says employees will inspect facilities in the city instead.
At events like the rally, the Department of Health works with vendors, especially food vendors, to make sure that they're complying with food safety kinds of regulations so that we can minimize, you know, food poisoning and foodborne outbreaks, and conduct water testing for campgrounds and other places where we know there will be gatherings of people to make sure that the water supply is safe.
Malsom-Risden says testing for COVID-19 would be handled by the city of Sturgis after the rally ends. South Dakota authorities have reported the first haul of crashes, arrests, and citations from the Sturgis rally in the western part of the state. The annual rally started on Friday, drawing thousands of maskless riders to the streets and bars of Sturgis. Organizers say they expect fewer visitors than in other years. But the Department of Public Safety reports the number of arrests, citations, and accidents has kept pace with last year. So far, police in the region have reported 18 crashes, which is down from last year's mark of 20. None have been fatal. The 605 Strong program was launched in June and connects South Dakotans with resources and help during the COVID-19 pandemic. The program connects people to state resources like financial assistance or mental health through a centralized number. SDPB's David Scott has more.
Lori Gill is the Cabinet Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Social Services. Gill says more than 1,800 of the state's residents have reached out since the program's inception. She says people are calling for a wide variety of help.
Some folks are experiencing financial needs, and we can provide some resources regarding financial assistance opportunities. Some people want to know where to go to get specific help. They just don't know where to hook up with government information. We can provide that. Some folks are just feeling the pressure and need some mental health assistance and resources for their family to help keep their family strong. Those are the kinds of connections that we can help people make.
Gill says the centralized effort helps make it easier for people to connect with needed resources. She says stress related to the pandemic has been a major issue, but people have a hard time reaching out for help.
The people that are answering the telephone and are working to assist people when they call into 211 have been specifically trained, and they can provide some outreach as well that includes follow-up program for individuals that are in distress.
Gill encourages people to check on what programs they qualify for. She says people who don't want to call in can also connect to services online. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm David Scott in Rapid City.
The Sioux Falls School District may be short of bus drivers when school begins later this month. School Bus Incorporated is the company that has the contract to transport Sioux Falls students to and from school by bus. Manager Jim Schaefer says that concerns over the coronavirus pandemic is partially to blame for the shortage. Schaefer says in a normal year, the district would still be looking for 10 to 15 drivers. He says it's about double that this year. Schaefer says, quote, the district has done pretty extensive stuff in the way of precautions. Those include an expectation that drivers wear masks. Efforts to clean up and improve the water quality of Lake Mitchell are gaining momentum thanks to a collaboration between city officials, state and federal agencies, South Dakota farmers, and more. SDPB's Laura Rohde shares this story.
When Mitchell Mayor Bob Everson was a teen, Lake Mitchell was the place to be.
It used to be the 4th of July you couldn't get on the lake because of all the boats. Or if you did, you just kind of putzed around the lake and joined the day.
These days, the once popular lake isn't attracting many boaters. Due to water quality issues, Lake Mitchell is now covered in algae and emits a pungent odor. Mitchell residents and business owners are concerned. So cleaning up Lake Mitchell became a platform Bob Everson ran on when he campaigned for mayor in 2018.
I said, we need to look at doing this as a complete project, addressing the watershed.
Some may think the task impossible. A watershed is an area of land water travels over or through on its way to a body of water. And Lake Mitchell's Fire Steel Creek watershed is about 350,000 acres. Cleaning it up has a $20 million price tag. But Mayor Everson knew if he worked with the right team, Lake Mitchell could once again become the boating destination it once was.
More people, start getting things done quicker and in a more cost-effective manner.
Today, the list of public and private agencies, organizations, and individuals working together to clean up Lake Mitchell is quite long. Among the first folks Mayor Everson began working with were area farmers who manage land throughout the Fire Steel Creek watershed. 75% of land in South Dakota is owned by private landowners. That makes working with farmers vital to improving water quality. Landowners like brothers Craig and Gene Staley. The brothers raise thousands of acres of corn and soybeans on land throughout the watershed. Avid conservationists, since the 1980s, the brothers have implemented soil health practices on the land they farm.
We run a business to try to make money first and foremost, and we found that obviously the healthier soil is in terms of organic matter, fertility levels, your ability to hold moisture and absorb it is more profitable than not.
Throughout the Fire Steel Creek watershed, the soil's ability to absorb and hold water is key to improving Lake Mitchell's water quality, explains Jeff Zimprich, state conservationist with the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
The best way I could describe it is that when a raindrop falls from the sky, it falls on top of a hill. And as that raindrop hits the soil, it has the opportunity right then to either be infiltrated and held in the soil and slowed down or to run across the landscape. And that's really the beginning of a water quality issues.
Zimprich explains that some of Lake Mitchell's water quality issues stem from too much soil or sediment flowing into the lake, as well as water runoff containing fertilizer used on farm acres, residential lawns, or golf courses and parks. Evidence of these issues began to surface in the late 1970s when an extended drought made it necessary for the city to dredge the west third of Lake Mitchell, where Fire Steel Creek flows into the lake. It was shallow and filled with cattails.
From that day on, we've noticed algae blooms more, I think, than happened before the lake was dredged. Cattails are a very good way of removing phosphorus from the water. That's kind of how that evolved.
To increase water infiltration and reduce soil erosion and fertilizer runoff on the Fire Steel Creek watershed, the Staley brothers manage their farm acres with soil health practices like no-till planting and introducing cover crops into their crop rotation. 15 years ago, they also set aside 350 acres of land bordering Fire Steel Creek to serve as a natural buffer. Today on their land, nearly 50 species of native plants work to hold soil in place and filter water before it flows into Fire Steel Creek. And according to water samples taken downstream from their land, the Staleys' efforts are paying off. Now, the Staleys aren't doing this at their own expense. Through collaboration and working with incentive programs from Natural Resources Conservation Service and many other agencies and organizations, the Staleys and other farmers receive compensation for implementing conservation practices to help improve water quality.
Without the producer participating, obviously, we'd just be sitting around a table and nothing would happen.
In addition to working with farmers, the city of Mitchell purchased land on the western edge of Lake Mitchell and will partner with multiple entities to install sediment ponds and recreate a cattail wetland like the one that was there when Mayor Everson was a boy. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Laura Rohde.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.